Do we call it the Chocolat series, or what do you call it?
I don't call it anything. It's the third of three books so far that I've written about Vian Rocher, and I'm not promising that there won't be any more, and I'm not promising that there will be, but people have been calling it a trilogy because there are three of them, but I'm not sure that that quite follows.
I don't think these characters have worn out their welcome with readers.
No, I don't think they have. And more importantly, I don't think they've finished with me either.
Well, that was, they finished with you.
Yes, I think, I see it in terms of having unfinished business with characters. There's a responsibility to making people up, because after a while they stop being made up and they sit up and they come to life. After that has happened, it's both a wonderful and a terrible thing, because they stop doing exactly what you tell them and start to have ideas of their own. On the other hand, people start to believe in them and love them, and your control disappears little by little, I think.
I understand completely what you're saying, but does part of your brain also go, you know, that just sounded a little on the nuts side?
Yeah.
How do you handle that?
The thing is, this is the only job in which you actually get paid to have a mental illness. And sometimes the line between creativity and just being plain nuts is a very, very thin one. The thing is, I find that the line is useful as opposed to being a real problem, and so I kind of just go with it. And I always feel that it's very rewarding when the characters sit up and talk to you, because unless you can hear them doing that, chances are the story will never really emerge as something that people want to bother with.
Between the first and this, it's like eight years have passed? Or is it between the second and third?
No, eight years have passed. There are three and there are 4 years between them. And so significant amounts of time have passed for the characters to have been changed by time and circumstance. And also for the world generally to have changed. And in this book, as opposed to Chocolat, which could have been set pretty much out of time, current events have definitely caught up with the characters and the place.
The title is Peaches for Monsieur le Curé. I thought of it as Redemption for Monsieur le Curé. Is that too much to load on it?
No, I think you're right. Although I'm not sure exactly what needed to be redeemed. I think a lot of people took Chocolat to be a black and white story in which there was a good guy and a bad guy. This, I think, was a simplistic interpretation of something, because I never felt Renaud was the bad guy. I mean, admittedly, I think he's wrong, but he is somebody who is doing right according to his lights, dim as they may be. And so there was never any idea of it being a good versus evil story. However, in this book, Renaud has grown. He's not changed enormously, I have to say. He's still a bit misogynistic. He's still rather bad with people. He's still uncomfortable with what's different. But he is a lot softer, and he gets to have a little adventure of his own and to show to advantage. And you get to see a little more of his internal workings and to understand why he is the way he is.
I liked his warts, and I don't remember liking him at the end of Chocolat, but I actually, I'm fond of him.
Yes, I'm fond of him too.
Kind of difficult uncle sort of, where you go, well, but that's just the way he is.
Exactly. But I always felt this about him too. I was fond of him in Chocolat as well. And I always knew that at some point he would have a little watershed moment in which he would partially break down and begin to understand that the world is not in these extremely rigorous shades of black and white that he assumes at first that it is. And so, you know, I think I was starting with rather more fondness for Renaud than most people had.
When she goes back to the town, she finds a chocolate shop, a burnt-out wreck. And that's not giving too much away, I don't think, is it?
No, it's not. It's one of the changes I was talking about. And I think the responsibility of dealing with fictional people and fictional places is more or less the same. Sometimes things happen and you don't want them to. It would have been nice to have gone back to Lansquenet and found it unchanged, but I think it's a testament to how real it's become in my mind that I knew that wasn't going to be possible. And so I had to measure the level of change that I could bear with the kind of story I wanted to tell. And let's face it, change is terribly uncomfortable a lot of the time, but it also drives story. You can't have a story without change. And so the first change is the arrival of a Moroccan Muslim community who have gradually settled across the river and have become part of the village. And the second change is the arson attack on Vian's old chocolate shop, which of course hasn't been a chocolate shop for some time.
I really liked the intrusion of the real world into this. And at first it was like, how could you? And I was like, well, that makes sense. And I liked it a lot. I really didn't think I would, but I did.
I was a little the same. I'd always seen Lanskaday as a kind of Brigadoon-like place.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you know, I've written about it once, I can't do it again, because I would have to do things with time and place and people that I wouldn't like. And, you know, also having seen the reaction of some of my readers to Lollipop Shoes, and they were all coming out going, well, how can you let Vian change? How could you change Vian? And I tried to explain that I hadn't changed Vian, that life had changed Vian, and that sometimes life gets in the way of these things. But I also knew that if I didn't change Lanskaday to a certain extent, then I would never come back. Otherwise, because there'd be no story. And so I got back there and I thought, hey, this isn't so bad. Actually, it kind of works, and this is where the story has to happen.
The book is Peaches for Monsieur le Curé. I've been speaking with the author, Joanne Harris. You know the name from the bestseller Chocolat, of course. And Peaches for Monsieur le Curé, published by Doubleday.